As we begin to look at some of the devices of bridging wired and wireless networks, we have a couple of devices here, if we can get some shots. In this case, this is a device from Intelon and Wizz Air, and what it does is it bridges home plug and ends it into this box, which then gives you an ultra-wideband room connectivity. And I'll show you some ultra-wideband in some applications in a second. This expands the choice for networking, making it affordable and simple to connect your wired and your wireless protocols if you decide not to just use 802.11, for example. And when it comes to the home and home networks, consumers need to have simple choices to adapt to their home. You can't make people adapt to your technology. And so we think the hybrid approach offers choice. Now, when you actually have ultra-wideband, you can have a look at this device here from Seagate. When ultra-wideband combined with USB also offers more options. So in this particular case, this is an example of a PC peripheral based on wireless USB. It's a device from Seagate, and if you can just see this, it's gorgeous on here, very small. It basically is a wireless USB hard disk drive that makes it very simple to do the backup that you need for, you know, your memories or those things that are important to you. It makes it easier and simpler to move around. So all this technology gives consumers more choice and more flexibility. Now, what I want to do now is just move over to Kathy. It looks like everything is up and running, which is good. So what we have is here is a non-Vive PC, and here we actually have a Vive PC. I'll stay over here so I don't get in your way there, Kathy.
Okay.
Now, just to remind you, so it looks like it took Kathy 3 minutes and 51 seconds to set up a Vive network. And just to recap what we've actually done here from scratch, we have set up a Vive PC. We have set up a secure wireless network. We have set up a digital media adapter that contains the Vive software from the host stack. And you've now actually connected to a service and you're able to stream premium content. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
And you didn't use a keyboard or...
All I used was my remote.
Okay. So what I'd like to show is we often get the question, you know, what value does Vive bring to consumers? So what I'd like to do is just to show you a couple of things that are just small details, but this is the bar that the consumers set for all of you as developers to a consumer audience. For example, you're obviously able to get some premium content, but what about the kids' soccer match or a basketball match?
Right. We all know people love their personal content. So let's just have some dueling screens here. I have some basketball content. You have that same basketball content. You want to go up there?
So this is a DVAVI file that most people would have with their camcorders.
I shot it of my son's basketball game.
Okay, so get playing.
Okay, you go, I go.
The problem is, just to jump to the chase on here, is that the file is not supported. Not all of the formats are supported on generic systems. With Vive, it doesn't change the base file, but it says, hey, I know, because I'm Vive verified, I know that the file is DVAVI, I know my screen needs MPEG-2, so as it streams from the host PC, the Vive PC, to the screen, it converts it into MPEG-2 automatically without any user intervention. On this system, the file simply says file format. You can't have consumers having file format errors. Let me just turn this one off. The other thing we have is instant on-off. So do you want to show us what your system can do with instant on-off?
My system, instant on-off. My system goes off. I hit the button. It goes off. But check out my streaming content. It's still playing. What about you?
Hang on, I'm still trying to turn off my PC here.
Yeah, you might want to come this way a little bit.
No, actually, this is not part of the demo. It should just be going on.
Need some help?
What can I do? Just turn this one off here?
Yeah, go right there.
Okay. Okay, it goes into standby mode. The problem we have now is that, essentially, the way Vive has been architected is that even though the PC is off, it's still hosting a great deal of content. It still has access to a great deal of content. So it's been designed, again, remember in your mind that the Vive PC is in the den. This television here with the DMA may be in the living room. So even though the Vive PC is off, it's still capable for this DMA to stream content from there. In this case, the PC's off, and when I try and find content, this is a different error. It can no longer find it. The server is no longer on the network. So the old PC approach of just throwing chips into the marketplace does not work. You have to have these kind of devices, and so the error message will come up. Yep. Unable to open file, because to all intents and purposes, this PC is not on the network. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks, Don.
3 minutes, 50 seconds for setting up a secure network. And there's no need for a remote control. All of this was done. So when you begin to look at the benefits of Vive technology versus non-Intel or non-Vive, you begin to see the simplified network setup. $90 charge for a no-fault fan for retailers. For your products, which may be complicated to set up and therefore generate a return back to retail, this takes out the frustration, it reduces cost. The easier device setup, when you actually go through this, you enter a 4-digit PIN, and that then pulls across all of the web keys and the SSIDs and so on that you need. You don't need to enter them. You don't need a keyboard to do this, but it's so simple and it's so secure. The transcoding, approximately 20 formats for all the different formats that you might come across. And then the streaming of content is very simple. It's very, very simple for the instant on-off, and it's very practical. So those are just a couple of the things. The other thing is that if you're a developer of a service, let's just say, for example, Cinequest is the local independent film festival here in the Valley, currently running in San Jose. If you go online and buy a Cinequest service, I'm hypothetically, you download it to your Vive PC, it automatically promulgates that content and that directory to every DMA that's in your house. So whether you're in the living room or the kitchen or another bedroom, you will find access to that service. On a non-Vive PC, you have to go in, click on the media server, assuming you know what a media server is, find your file for Cinequest or MovieLink or Eros, one by one, and tell it to please join my home network. That's way too complicated. So Vive has got a large number of benefits that make it very, very simple so you, the consumer, can just get on with your enjoying of the content. And then, of course, there's the validation and verification of a world of content and services, and we truly have had magnificent progress. The whole point of the Vive system is it was designed for a world where you acquire, manage, and enjoy your content on a PC, even if you view it on a remote screen. And that world is happening. It really is the beginning of a new entertainment industry, and that has huge repercussions for everyone in the content and services. So Vive is about putting the consumer in control, making the content experience easier, making the device setup easier. And in this case, as we said, Kathy created the Vive network, a secure Vive network, in less than 4 minutes. But actually, because we're Intel and we like to push ourselves, we know that we can do more. So let's just take a walk into the future. Imagine, in this case, this is a prototype of a PDA. I want to connect my PDA to a secure network, okay? So in the case here, it says scan and connect. I can just use this. It's actually going to try and make a poll to the...
Welcome to the Vive Network Setup Wizard. A new device is requesting access to your network. To securely configure it, please pass. Thank you.
And now this device is now securely connected to my secure network. You gave it permission, you used a token base. So let's just have a look.
Congratulations. You have successfully configured the new device to access your Vive network.
Okay, so that was as simple. We showed you 4 minutes there. We actually just showed you more like 4 or 14 seconds. So what actually happened? Let me just actually show you what was happening. You had two technologies there under the hood. One of them was called Simple Config, and the other one was called Near Field Communications. So let's take a look under the hood as to what happened. On the animation, what you're seeing is that the Wi-Fi got into access, into proximity with the access point and said, hey, can I join? And so the PDS makes the request to join. The Vive platform responds. It hooks up and says, hey, I need to have the PIN information or the security information from the PDA, and you can see them talking to each other. And then you simply pass the PDA within a few centimeters of the near-field communication reader. That's the little USB device that's sticking out. In the future, of course, it would be built in. And it passes an encryption key. And voila, that PDA is now a secure member of the network. Okay, it really is that simple. So this NFC-enabled token is really the key to your electronic domain. Ease of use is really a basic consumer need. So the work we've started with the Vive today and the work we intend to continue with new technologies like Simple Config and near-field communication will continue to create the new normal as to what consumers will accept as ease of use going forward. It will also create a new opportunity for developers, because in a broad consumer market, ease of use will swell the market. We're creating the standards for ease of use, and we're delivering on that on the hardware side, obviously with the appropriate software that we have here.